What if I told you that the average office worker now checks email 74 times daily and switches tasks every 3 minutes? We're living through an unprecedented assault on our most precious cognitive resource, attention itself. In 1977, Herbert Simon warned that a wealth of information creates a poverty of attention. He couldn't have imagined how prophetic those words would become. Today, teams of psychologists and data scientists work around the clock to capture and monetize your focus, designing notifications and feeds that hijack your brain's reward circuits. We've entered an attention economy where your concentration has become the product. Yet attention isn't just about productivity or digital wellness. It's the invisible spotlight that shapes who you become through accumulated experiences. The question isn't whether you'll pay attention, but whether you'll control where it goes. Attention operates through three interconnected lenses. Inner focus connects you to intuitions and guiding values, that gut feeling when a decision feels right before you can articulate why. Other focus enables reading subtle social cues and micro-expressions, revealing what someone truly feels. Outer focus helps understand complex systems and anticipate how parts interact within larger wholes. Consider John Berger, a department store detective spotting potential thieves among hundreds of shoppers through sustained vigilance and rapid orienting. Like a muscle, attention strengthens with exercise or weakens with neglect. Our screen-dominated environment creates attention residue, the mental hangover from rapidly switching tasks. Children now spend more time with devices than people, potentially compromising development. Some Silicon Valley workplaces now ban electronic devices during meetings, a telling irony from the industry producing these technologies. The architecture of your attention determines not just what you notice, but ultimately who you become. Your brain operates with two competing systems. The bottom-up mind works automatically, fast, intuitive, energy-efficient, processing information without conscious awareness. The top-down system is deliberate and effortful, enabling complex reasoning and planning. As you master skills through practice, they transfer from top-down attention to bottom-up automaticity. Elite athletes see the field and respond instantly. Yet when Olympic hurdler Lolo Jones started overthinking her well-practiced movements, she interfered with bottom-up processes and her performance suffered. Our automatic circuitry learns constantly, creating unnoticed biases. The amygdala, your emotional sentinel, reacts faster than your conscious prefrontal cortex, alerting you to threats evolved to spot dangers like snakes, spiders, and angry faces. During emotional hijacks, sudden pain or fear, the amygdala triggers a cascade. Attention narrows, memory reshuffles, stress hormones prepare you for fight or flight. Your emotional resilience depends on how quickly your left prefrontal cortex can calm these activations. Neuroscience reveals approximately half our daily thoughts are daydreams, a striking proportion suggesting evolutionary advantages. Before insights, the brain settles into a relaxed alpha rhythm, enabling communication between normally distinct neural networks. Salesforce CEO Mark Benioff's cloud computing breakthrough came during a Hawaiian retreat. Alexander Fleming discovered penicillin by noticing an unexpected mold pattern during unfocused observation. Adults with ADD frequently demonstrate higher creative achievement, with entrepreneurs like Richard Branson crediting their ADD for spotting opportunities others miss. Participants whose minds wandered produced 40% more original answers to creative challenges. Einstein observed that the intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. Yet modern work culture, with nonstop emails and rigid schedules, creates a brain state antithetical to creative discovery. Cryptography expert Peter Schweitzer regularly solved complex problems while sunbathing, his mind going a zillion miles an hour beneath an appearance of repose. A Harvard study found innovations flowered best under specific conditions, clear high-level goals combined with freedom in execution and protected time for open-ended thinking. William James identified voluntarily returning wandering attention as the root of judgment, character, and will. Our minds wander roughly half our waking hours, lowest during lovemaking, highest during routine work, typically fixating on self-centered preoccupations that trigger negative emotions. A litigator's transformation began with mindfully eating a single raisin, observing its texture and sweetness. This focused attention brought profound calm as his racing mind quieted. Neuroimaging shows regular mindfulness meditation dampens brain circuits responsible for self-referential mental chatter. Attention fatigue occurs when we deplete glucose reserves fueling neural activity. The antidote isn't pushing harder, but switching to passive activities in restorative environments. Natural settings prove particularly powerful. Even 15-minute urban park walks replenish depleted attentional resources. True restoration comes through immersive experiences that quiet internal monologue, playing in ocean waves, focused meditation, watching sunsets without distraction. The key is finding activities that naturally absorb attention while allowing the analytical mind to rest, what psychologists call effortless attention or flow states. George Lucas's decision to maintain creative control of Star Wars despite financial struggles exemplifies the power of an inner compass. Facing substantial buyouts and mounting costs, Lucas bet on his vision, even mortgaging his house. This self-awareness stems from decoding body signals, physiological reactions reflecting life experiences. Our deepest sense of purpose resides in subcortical neural regions, poorly connected to verbal areas, but richly linked to gut feelings. A Cirque du Soleil performer explained perfect practice as, "It's the feeling. You know it in your joints before you know it in your head." Yet self-awareness requires seeing ourselves through others' eyes, a perspective many lack. As executives rise, fewer people speak honestly, widening the gap between self-perception and reality. By the C-suite level, over 75% overestimate their leadership abilities. Beyond words, tone critically affects reception. Surgeons with domineering voices were sued more often than empathetic-sounding colleagues, despite identical information. Cognitive empathy means reading emotional signals and taking others' perspectives. Emotional empathy involves resonating with others' feelings through automatic brain circuits. When people truly connect during storytelling, their brain patterns synchronize, listeners' neural activity echoing the storyteller's. When physicians acknowledge emotions, that sounds frightening, patients feel understood, increasing diagnostic accuracy. Power deadens empathy. Higher status individuals make less eye contact, interrupt more, and show fewer engagement signs. Directing attention effectively is leadership's primal task. Truly innovative strategy requires seeing targets others miss, like Steve Jobs' vision of user-friendly computers when competitors focused on technical users. Returning to Apple in 1997, he found a floundering company with too many products. His radical strategy? Simplify to just 4 products. Jobs understood that deciding what not to do mattered as much as deciding what to do. BlackBerry's decline illustrates this. Despite dominating corporate IT, they missed the paradigm shift when iPhone introduced touchscreens and app ecosystems. Exceptional leaders cultivate triple focus: inner awareness, attunement to others, and broad external scanning. The best operate on behalf of society, seeing humanity as we rather than us and them. Attention is the currency of consciousness itself. Your attention shapes your brain, relationships, and legacy. Every notification answered, every distraction entertained, every moment of presence reclaimed, these aren't trivial choices. They're votes for the mind you'll inhabit and the life you'll live. The question isn't whether technology will assault your attention. It will. The question is whether you'll reclaim consciousness and direct it toward what truly matters. To master your attention is to master your life.